This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Good morning. I would like to begin today's Dharma talk with the sutra opening gatha. Let's put our palms together. Namo fundamental teacher Shakyamuni Buddha. Namo fundamental teacher Shakyamuni Buddha. Namo fundamental teacher Shakyamuni Buddha. The Dharma, infinitely profound and subtle, is rarely encountered even in a million kalpas. Now we are here to hear, study, and follow it. May we fully realize the Tathagata's true meaning. 无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇。我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实意。 Okay, we're here at the beautiful Jikoji Temple. For me, it is the first time to hold a retreat here. The theme of our retreat is mindfulness of feeling practice. So I will give a talk on that as well. Mindfulness feeling is a very important meditation practice taught by the Buddha, part of the Satipatthana, or for establishment of mindfulness. Mindfulness of body, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of mind or thoughts, and mindfulness of dharmas or phenomena. Now these four are taught in sequence, because the body is, to us, the most solid and easy to be aware of. So we begin with something relatively simple, mindfulness of the body. And when we become good at this, mindfulness of body, when we train our mind to be better at being mindful, being focused, being clear, being the present, being objective, learning to see our body truthfully as much as possible, as opposed to seeing our body and have all kinds of judgments, all kinds of imaginations, all kinds of exaggerations or distortions about our body. We want to see it clearly, seeing body as body. And through this practice, we get to know more about our own body. Eventually, seeing that the emptiness of the body. Meanwhile, we become better at concentration, we become better at mindfulness. And then, however, it is very important to be able to learn how to be mindful of our mind. In one of the scriptures, the Buddha said, those who can contemplate their mind will be able to reach liberation. Those who cannot contemplate the mind will forever be trapped in samsara or the endless cycle of rebirth. So we do want to progress from mindfulness of the body to our mind, and there's a problem. The mind is so complicated. The mind is the most complex thing in the universe. How do we even start? Well, feelings is the place to start. It's a great place to start for most people. If you think about it, feelings are the bridge from our body to other aspects of our mind. Where do we get our feelings? From seeing, from hearing, from touching, from smelling, from tasting. And then we have all kinds of feelings. Oh, this is good. This is pleasant. This is unpleasant. This is painful. It's cold, it's hot. So it is the feelings that often arise directly when we have an experience. Even before we have a chance to think about it, feelings, emotions come up due to the sensations of contact. And of all the mental states, we have many, many mental states. Some coarse, some refined. Some more easy to notice, some are so subtle that we may never notice their existence. Among all these mental states, feelings are the easiest to notice those aspects of our mind, isn't it? In fact, many people's lives are driven by their feelings, by their emotions, by their mood. This is a problem when our lives, when our mood is driven by the feelings and emotions. We sometimes often lose our rational judgment. We lose objectivity. Just the other day, we discussed an incident probably frequently occurring in many families, where father have a young child. You know how little kids are, they always play when they eat, and they knock over things and make a big mess. So the father get upset. I told you not to play during meals. Why don't you ever listen? Look what you've done. So what happened there? Well, the father would say, I was trying to teach my kid good manners. But is this what really happens? No. What happens is you teach the kid to be scared of your father. And that when you make a mistake, lie to him. Don't let him find out. That's what happens, isn't it? You also teach the kid, get angry and lose your temper when something you don't like happens. That's what we're teaching our kid. Well, does the father love the child? Of course he does. But then when he's driven by his emotions, he forgets his objective. Raising a kid. He actually forgot the objective then. And that's all we do all the time when we are driven by our emotions, feelings, we lose sense of a bigger picture. So what happens? How do we deal with feelings? How do we manage our feelings and emotions? Well, Buddha is a master of managing our emotions, isn't he? There's my favorite story. Somebody who's jealous of the Buddha, he came to see the Buddha and start saying all these nasty things to the Buddha. He said, You claim to be enlightened, but who knows whether you are enlightened or not? I think you're just a liar. You're doing this to gain fame and followers. You say you are perfectly moral, perfectly pure. But how do we know what you do behind people's backs? So you say all these nasty, untrue things, accusations, bad-mouthing the Buddha. Now, when somebody does something like that to us, criticizing us unfairly, with misunderstanding or slandering us, ruin our reputation, how do we feel? How do we react? Feelings flare up, right? Immediately, feelings flare up for most of us. So let's learn from the Buddha. What does the Buddha do? Buddha just sat there and listened in silence. He did not say a single word. He did not defend himself. He did not say, "You are wrong. Let me prove it to you." No. He just sat there in silence, complete silence. But he was not ignoring the guy. He listened to every word he said. Now, how does the Buddha do that? Can we do that? Is it possible for us to do that? Well, if the Buddha can do it, then we can do it. That's what Buddha teaches, right? We can all become Buddhas eventually. So if the Buddha can do it, we can do it. But how? Well, managing our emotions will be a good start. So how did the Buddha do it? Well, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of body, mindfulness of feeling is the next step, isn't it? What is the core practice in mindfulness of feeling? It is to see feelings as feelings. In the Chinese version of the Satipatthana, which is the sutra that explains the four establishment of mindfulness, body, feeling, mind, and dharmas, there's a core phrase that is repeated throughout. See the body as body. See the feeling as feeling, see the mind as mind, or see thoughts as thoughts, see phenomena as phenomena. That means to see things as they are, neither increasing nor decreasing, neither pure nor impure, neither arising nor ceasing. It's just the way it is. It is the way it is, like the Heart Sutra says. But what does that mean? So, when somebody is saying nasty things to you, we all had that feeling. We feel indignant, we feel angry, we feel upset, we want to slap the guy. No, we don't want to slap the guy. We want to do something, though. Yeah, we get into an argument. Now, how many people does it take to get into an argument? Two people, right? We all know that. So what happens if when the Buddha doesn't respond? There's no argument. No argument can be started. So the guy who came to say nasty things to the Buddha, he became quiet after a few minutes. He couldn't go on. Try it at home. I did. When I first heard the story, I practiced with a Buddhist friend of mine. I told my friend, "You pretend to say all these nasty things to me, and I try not to respond, and then let's see how long you can last." My friend couldn't last 4 minutes. Give it a try. So it became kind of boring afterwards. And then you lose the heat. The person who was upset at you, they kind of lose the heat. And they become a little bit calmer. Well, how can we do that? Buddha go on to show us in the rest of the story. When the guy became quiet, Buddha said something. That's when the Buddha said something. He said, "Sir, May I ask you a question? If you were to bring a gift and give it to somebody, and that person refuses the gift, what do you do with the gift? Where does this question come from, right? The guy was confused. But it's a simple question, so he felt he had to answer. Of course, I take the gift back myself. Gotcha. So he said, of course, I bring the gift back myself. Buddha said, I totally agree with you. Do you see? Anybody see why the Buddha asked that question? Anybody? Well, some of you may be guessed. Good. What she says, don't give to others what you don't want others. Don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. That's the Chinese version of the golden rule. That's good. But there is an even better reason that the Buddha did that. The reason?
Because he was saying to the gentleman, I don't accept your anger. You can take it back with you.
Exactly. The gentleman in the back said, the Buddha was saying, I don't accept your gift of anger and bad-mouthing. All these words, I don't accept. Goes right back to you. Do you see that? Do you see the key here? Often, when somebody is criticizing us, yelling at us, you feel, I'm being yelled at. I'm being criticized. You criticize me, I'm being criticized. You yell at me, I'm yelled at. That's the typical perception. But that is not seeing things as they are. What Buddha is teaching us is that you can yell at me all you want, but I can choose how I perceive your words. Can I do that? I can choose how I respond to your words. I can choose to see your words as a gift. It is, right? This is a gift. But some gifts are useful, some gifts are useless. What do you do when you receive a useless gift? Do you put it in your living room and look at it every day and get upset? That's what we're doing. We take in these words we don't like. We're keeping in our mind for years, and then every time we think about it, we get upset. It's like taking an arrow that somebody shoot into you and you poke yourself 99 more times. Why bother? So Buddha said, I don't accept the gift that you have just given me. Do you have that freedom? Yeah, you do. Do we exercise that? Often not. See, the Buddha mind is so clear that he sees the reality of the situation. Can I prevent people from saying mean things to me? No, I cannot. If my happiness or sadness depend on other people, then I will never be happy. I will never be liberated. Right? Even the Buddha had somebody bad-mouthing him. But the Buddha was completely at peace. He was not affected. How could he do that? Because he exercised his choice. He saw the nature of these words. They're just vibrations of air. If it's useful to me, thank you for your criticism. I didn't see that. I didn't see my faults. I thank you for pointing out to me. You're my teacher. I'm grateful. Can you do that? Yes. No point getting upset, right? But if it's not useful, if it's misunderstanding, if it's coming from someplace mean, they're trying to hurt you, we do as the Chinese say, going 1 year, go the other year. 左耳朵进右耳朵出. Yeah? Can you do that? Of course, because that's the nature of sound. The nature of sound is that after the vibration, it ceases, like this. Listen. You hear the sound and hear the echo, right? It vibrates beautifully. Where's the sound now? It dissipated, it's gone. Do you hear anything now? Do you hear anything now? No? Wrong again. You do hear. What do you hear? You hear no sound. You hear that there is no sound from the handbell. What's the key? The key is that your knowing mind, the mind that knows, your awareness is always present, ever present. That's why you know there's no sound or there is sound. Isn't that true? 是不是? 你听到有声音, 听到没有声音, 能听的这个觉性始终都在的。 That which knows is always present, every moment. But is feeling, what is feeling? Feelings are something generated by our consciousness, conscious mind. We decided a long time ago that when somebody yell at you, you should get angry because that's what my parents did. That's where what all the adults did when I was little. So I was growing up, this the behavior I learned, I become accustomed to it. It's become a habit. But Buddha told us, wait a minute. You have a choice here. Think of those words, perceive those words as gift. Everything that people ever say to you at any time, you can see them as gifts. Can you do that? Can you try that? Of course. Is it easy? No. Why? Why isn't it easy? Lack of practice, that's all. That's all. Can you imagine that? If you do this practice, everything that everybody say to you at any time, if you can remember, oh, they're gifts. Some useful gifts, some useless gifts. What do I do with useful gifts? I try to remember it. Write down in my cultivation notebook, my spiritual notebook, and I review it often or practice it often if it's a good gift. If it's not a useful gift, go in 1 year, go the other year. If you always practice that, every day you talk to people, right? Every day people say things to you. So every day you have so many chances to practice. Isn't that true? Unless you're in silent retreat. But every day you get to practice. If you practice every time, can you imagine, can you see that 3 years from now, you can act like the Buddha? Whatever people, nasty things people say to you, thank you for the gift. Sayonara. Can you see yourself like that 3 years from now? Do you think it's possible? Yeah, isn't it? No, we gotta have a vision. When we do the Buddhist practice, we gotta have a vision. What can you be a few years from now? Or 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, or maybe one month from now, set short-term goals, long-term goals, intermediate range goals, long-term goals. Okay, 3 years from now, everybody here will be able to take anything that people say as a gift with a perfectly calm mind. Agree? Agree? Yeah? A deal? But it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. But the problem is not with the other person. The problem is from myself, isn't it? So, from this example, we see that our afflictions, our klesha, our unhappiness, the source of unhappiness, doesn't come from other people. Doesn't come from external events, come from my perception. So when the Buddha said, see feeling as feelings, he was teaching a very important lesson. React to your feelings. With the right understanding. Okay, where's the right understanding? What is the nature of our feelings? Well, do you remember last time you were really upset at somebody or something and that you got over it? Do you remember incident like that? You do, right? How'd you get over it? Well, you're not in jail, so you didn't beat him up, right? You got over it because of the passage of time? Passage of time? Because those feelings were fleeting. They are impermanent. They don't last. That's one nature of feelings. It's impermanent. Well, we know that everything is impermanent, right? But when we say, oh, everything is permanent, do you know that? Do you agree? Yes? That's not very useful because the mind is still very coarse. We're not applying it. We all learned everything is impermanent, but that is a general principle. We got to apply the general principle to specific instances, like Feelings. You heard the Heart Sutra? The Heart Sutra says, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form is not different from emptiness, emptiness is not different from form. So it is with feeling, conception, volition, and consciousness. Okay, some people translate conception as perception or apperception. So it is with feeling, conception, volition, consciousness. When you read that passage in the Heart Sutra, what do? So it is with feeling, conception. You just went right through it. But what the Buddha really wants you to do is to think about feeling is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from feeling. Feeling is emptiness. Emptiness is feeling. Conception is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from conception, etc., etc., etc. Do you see my point? You got to apply this detailed process of contemplation on each single object, on each single item. Oh, everything's empty. Okay. But doesn't change my life. How is feeling empty? That will change your life. What do you mean feelings are empty? Are we denying feelings? No, we're not denying feelings. The Diamond Sutra says, 一切有为法如梦幻泡影如露亦如电应作如是观. All conditioned phenomena, which is everything in this world, all conditioned phenomena are like dreams, illusions, bubbles, shadows. They are like morning dew, they are like lightning. This is how you should contemplate it. Feelings are like lightning, like the morning dew. What's the nature of lightning? It appears and it's gone. You need to do this contemplation to see feelings as feelings. When you are upset, observe this feeling of being upset. There is that upset feeling inside your mind, right? Don't deny it. It is there. Acknowledge it. But do you see also that it is fleeting? You see it is fleeting, right? No, it's not fleeting. It stayed in my mind for half an hour. I was so upset at that guy for half an hour. It stayed there for half an hour. No. You help it regenerate itself for half an hour. You keep on regenerating that feeling, that emotion for half an hour. That's what we did. If you practice the gift perspective, when somebody's yelling at you, you get upset. Wait a minute. I remember what Shifu said. Words are gifts. Oh. So he's giving me a gift. Well, thank you. Are these gifts useful? Great. So you turn anger into appreciation, gratitude. Are those words not useful? What do you do when somebody give you a gift that you don't need? Do you slap that person? Do you punch that person? Do you kick that? No, of course not. You say, oh, thank you. After all, he sent you a gift, right? Yeah. So somebody yell at you, oh, thank you for the gift. You turn around, throw it away. So when you practice that, those feelings of anger, do they last? They don't last, right? They don't last. Well, 3 years from now, they don't last. Because we agree, we're going to be like that 3 years from now, right? Okay, so you can see that. It is possible to face those situations where the feelings come and like lightning, it's gone. Do you see that? What's the difference? Now, that person yelled at me, you get really upset for half an hour. 3 years from now, that person yelled at you, you get upset for 1 moment, it's gone. And then 10 years from now, you get even better. You don't even get upset at all, right? Because you see the emptiness of feelings. Become so skillful at the practice that you see no point getting upset at words. You have unlearned the habit you have built up when you were little, seeing how adults act. You have unlearned that habit and picked up a new habit. The habit of remaining in the present moment, remaining clear-minded, and remaining calm by your mindfulness practice. So, same thing happens. Somebody yelled at you now, somebody yelled at you 3 years from now. How come you're feeling changes that proves that you're the one responsible for how long the feeling lasts or even the feeling come up at all, not the other person. You prove that you choose to generate that feeling. Now you may say, but Shifu, wait a minute, you're blaming the victim, aren't you? Somebody hurt me real bad 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Somebody hurt me real bad when I was little. And that made me so sad and so sorry, so affected me. Of course it did. Of course it did. We're not denying that at all. But you keep on thinking this way, you don't get better. On the other hand, if we think of it as a gift, terrible gift, of course. Yeah, it was a terrible gift. And I put that terrible gift at the center of my living room. Every time I look at it, I get angry. I get upset, I get depressed, I get sad. That's what we've been doing. If you see things from this perspective, now I'm not telling you, you must do this. No, it's your choice. Sufis or the Buddhist teachers, they only give you a guideline. I'm showing you this way. Does it make sense to you? Would you like to be freed from that burden of abuse or trauma? Would you like to be free of that? If you do, here's the way that Buddha teaches. Seeing feeling as feelings. Feelings are, we learn several things about our feelings now. Feelings and emotions now. One, it is fleeting. The reason it doesn't go away is because we keep on regenerating it in our mind. We choose to do that. We didn't know we have a choice, but we do. Exercise your choice to stop regenerating that sad feeling. That's one thing we learn about feelings. Another thing we learn about feelings that is coming from you, not the other person. The other person doesn't give you that sadness. The other person doesn't give you that anger. The other person doesn't give you that depression. It is the way we perceive the situation that brought up those feelings. It is because we keep on regenerating these feelings that they stay there. That's a hard lesson to learn, but it is the lesson that will help you. Truthfully, little by little, it's not gonna be easy, but it works. If you're willing to choose to look at everything from a different perspective. There was a young lady, an American girl. She was kidnapped and abused by her kidnapper for several years. After many years, she's grown up into adulthood, and then she found a way to, she finally escaped her kidnapper. The real story. Of course, it's a very traumatic experience, probably more traumatic than most of us have experienced, maybe. Several years later, she started to speak about her experience. Now, she's not a Buddhist, but she said something very Buddhist. She said, I choose to not let the kidnapper trap me. I refuse to let that kidnapper continue to occupy a space in my mind. Something like that. That is really beautiful. That's how she became strong and have a bright look on her life. Even going through that terrible experience, she discovered something that Buddha discovered. You have a choice to look at this thing in a different perspective, and when you do, the emotions change. So that's what we call emptiness. Emptiness of feeling means that it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to have this characteristic. It doesn't have to have this property. If angry feeling always hurt you, then that is not empty. It's real. This feeling is real. But Buddha says feelings are empty. That means its effect on you, its impact on you can change with conditions. Just like words. Words are empty. Words are empty means that the effect that words have on you can change with conditions. What conditions? Well, I choose to look at these words in a different perspective, right? So you see the emptiness of words. Words can only hurt you if you let them hurt you. Of course, we didn't know any better. That's how everybody does. So we thought words were real, but they're not real. They're empty. Empty is not saying that that didn't happen. No, it's not a denial. Words did happen. Somebody was upset at you. Somebody said mean things to you. Of course that happened. Somebody beat you up, bullied you. Of course that happened. But that incident is in the past. Do you choose to let that bully continue to occupy a space in your mind? Or do you choose to let that bully dwindle some faraway corner by himself? Do you choose to live your life in the way you wanted to go? Bring together the right conditions, practicing mindfulness, feel with hope? Or do you choose to let those heavy feelings weigh you down? It's not easy. It takes courage. And you will be the most courageous person if you're willing to take the Buddha's perspective and face those hardship, face those terrible feelings, emotions that have been occupying your mental space, the space in your mind for many years. When do you begin to change? Right this moment. Right this moment. Like my Sufu, Grandmaster Wei Jie, he said, it's like flipping your hand that fast. One moment, how can you say that to me? Wait a minute, it's a gift. Thank you for your gift. You helped me realize one of my shortcomings. I didn't realize that. Could you explain a little more? Flip. That actually happened. A policewoman that was in Shifu's Zen Center many years ago, she learned this lesson. She told me that every week in their police office, they have a meeting. And there's one policeman who always pick on her. Whatever she says, he counters her, make her really upset. They get into argument every time the meeting ends up in everybody getting upset. But then that next meeting after the lesson, she said, I'm going to practice what Shifu said. So the policeman, as usual, picked on her. Whatever opinion she expressed, she picked on her. And she tried to look for even just one sentence that she can agree on. Could you explain that a little bit more? I think that's what you say there is interesting. Now, maybe 90% of what you say was mean spirit. Well, maybe 100% was mean spirited, but 90% was bogus. But that one sentence was actually had a point. So she focused on that. Say, hey, could you explain that To me, I like to learn more about that. Imagine the confusion. Immediately, the fiery atmosphere calmed down, and then he started to talk nicely. Why not? Because she wanted to know more, so I explained more. And then at the end of the meeting, it went really well. All her colleagues came over and said, "How did you do that? You were wonderful." This could happen to you, right? Next time somebody pick on you, this could happen to you. Flip of a hand. That's called Zen practice. Sudden enlightenment. Well, not complete enlightenment, but there is this enlightenment, right? It is awakening. Hey, I could do that. It's not fast. So what else did we learn about feelings? Well, one, it is fleeting. Two, is generated by our perception of what happens. What just happened? We perceive it in a certain way, we generate a certain feeling. We perceive in a different way, well, a different feeling come up. Maybe no feeling come up. Maybe you remain calm. Yeah, isn't that true? And three, the feelings are only persistent because we keep on regenerating it. We take somebody's arrow and then poke ourselves. Are we still doing that? Four, the impact of those feelings on you is not fixed. It can change. 3 years from now, maybe you still get a little bit upset when somebody already mean to you, but hey, it passes in a second. Yeah? So, there are pleasant feelings and unpleasant feelings. Pleasant feelings are empty. Unpleasant feelings are empty. We just gave an example of why unpleasant feelings are empty. Empty is not a denial, right? We're saying its impact on you or on other people could be different. You're really angry with the Buddha, and you go try to hurt the Buddha, your feeling doesn't impact the Buddha at all. Zero. But your feelings towards somebody could impact that person a great deal. Emptiness is not fixed. If anger can hurt, then it should hurt everybody. But it doesn't. Doesn't hurt the wise person. Doesn't hurt the awakened person. So anger is empty. But anger is like lightning. Flashes. But somebody want to keep the lightning, so they regenerate it. What about pleasant feelings? Are they empty too? Oh, I was hoping that happy feelings are real. Well, you can't have one without the other, right? Happy feelings are also empty. What does that mean? Imagine last time you were really happy. Oh, I had a piece of cake, wonderful cake. Totally enjoy that. Why is it empty? Is it permanent or impermanent? It's impermanent. Is impact on you? Is it always the same? No. Does everybody like cake? No. And even yourself. Maybe when you were 5 years old, you loved that cake. Maybe a donut. And then now when you're 20-year-old or 30-year-old or 50-year-old, you look at donut, yeah, the junkiest junk food. Maybe. Sifu had an experience before I really loved ice cream. I said, before I was Buddhist, ice cream is a gift from God, from heavens. And then after I became a Buddhist, I thought, well, I shouldn't cling to ice cream, right? But it's hard. It just tastes good, right? But after several years, after some meditation, I had a chance to taste some ice cream, and my perception was different. It was, what is ice cream? It is cold feeling, yeah? Smooth feeling, and sweet taste. It's the combination of these three things. Creamy, smooth, right? Very cold and sweet. And when your mind is very clear and you perceive it that way, there's nothing special about ice cream. I mean, you experience coldness. Sometimes you don't even like it. You experience sweetness. You experience creaminess. So what is so special? You deconstruct it, and then, well, ice cream is empty. Doesn't mean you hate ice cream now, right? No, it's not hate. It's just you can let it go. Yeah? If you have ice cream, okay. Maybe vegan ice cream. If you have ice cream, okay. If you don't have ice cream, okay. That's called non-attachment. It doesn't impact you. It doesn't trap you. So, even pleasant feelings are empty. And when it is empty, it is not worthy of your pursuit. Now there's a problem now. Wait a minute. Everybody wants happiness. If I don't pursue happiness, what's the meaning of life? Well, nobody says you shouldn't pursue happiness. It's just not a feeling. So the whole purpose of Buddha appearing in this world is to show us how to end suffering and achieve ultimate bliss. So yeah, we can pursue happiness, but we have to understand what happiness is not. It is not material possession that will never fulfill you. It is not feelings that will never fulfill you. It is not thoughts, no matter what kind of thoughts that doesn't fulfill you. It is not phenomena. They don't fulfill you either, because they are all fleeting and empty, because they have no substance. So what is worthy of our pursuit? Have you tried meditation? If you've been meditating for a while properly, and your mind quiet down, have you ever had a beautiful experience with meditation where your mind is, you're not thinking about anything? And your mind is just very quiet. And your mind is clear. And suddenly you get into a state where, well, there's no words to describe it. It's something like serene joy. But it's not joy, it's a different kind of a joy. It's not a joy from stimulation. See, every kind of pleasure that we have in this world comes from stimulation, whether it's physical stimulation, cake, sex, smell, yeah, beautiful things, possession, stimulation, they never fulfill you. Or it's mental stimulation. Oh, I read a good book. But what happens when you finish the book? Oh, great movie. Great art. But can you look at it? And then be totally satisfied? No. Oh, you married the girl of your dreams. Most beautiful girl. 3 months later, still the same. Just a girl. You got used to looking at it, like her. Sensory stimulation and mental stimulation never fulfill you for long. On the other hand, there's something different there. When you meditate and when you gain to a deeper meditation, when your mind is just quieter and quieter and quieter and nothing going on. Sounds boring, yeah? Only if you don't meditate. If you actually are patient enough to practice meditation for a while persistently, you probably have experienced something similar. And that is this deep quietness, serenity, nothing. You don't have to be stimulated. It's a lack of stimulation, better. It's a lack of stimulation that actually is very peaceful and blissful. You know, that's the closest words can come, right? Bliss, serenity, peace. But you have to experience it to know it. If you don't experience it, you don't know what I'm talking about. It just sounds boring. It may sound super exaggerating, but those of you who had that experience, you know I'm not exaggerating. Right? And how deep can you get? How quiet your mind can be? Well, there's no limit. It can become quieter and quieter and calmer and calmer. The mind become more and more still. The ultimate state of that stillness of the mind, 当你的心静到最最极静的时候，叫做涅槃。That is called nirvana. That is the ultimate bliss. Now, admittedly, we are not in nirvana right now. We don't have that experience yet, but you can get a taste of what nirvana may be like by meditation, by quiet, silent meditation. Those of you who had that beautiful, serene experience, you have faith. You have faith. But we need to somehow get to nirvana, but that's another whole topic. There's another kind of a joy that's different from worldly pleasure. Another kind of happiness, and that is the joy of Bodhi, Bodhi joy, the joy of awakening. 菩提觉法乐，涅槃寂静乐, the joy of knowing the truth, seeing the truth. Peeking into a piece of that truth of life. That doesn't go away. For example, earlier you learned that, hey, I can see words as gifts. That is an awakening, a small awakening, but important. Every time you practice that, it's joyful. We become skillful at it, right? Because every time you practice that, when people are being really mean and everybody is getting upset, you can remain totally calm, and then because your mind is totally calm, is also connected with that nirvana joy, the joy of serenity. See? Those are connected. So there's something very meaningful to pursue. Don't you think that teaching people how never to be upset by other people's words or criticism, don't you think that's a meaningful thing to do? Very meaningful, right? Now you can do it too. But it'd be more convincing if you can do it yourself to some degree, right? 3 years from now. No, you can teach it now. But 3 years from now, you'll be more convincing. That's Bodhisattva practice. So now, when we know what real happiness is, you can see that there's space in your mind for compassion. Why? What is compassion? It's truly caring for the well-being of others, right? But when I'm so trapped in my own feelings and ideas, and then what is good for me, where my pleasure comes from, I don't have space for real compassion. So, there's a last part of that story, that gift story. When Buddha saw this person came yelling at him, saying, bad-mouthing him, and, you know, slandering him, Buddha was quiet. And then when he was quiet too, Buddha said, hey, what happens with a gift, right? So we learned that already. And then Buddha said, I totally agree with you. Just like the policewoman, hey, I agree with you on that point. You see, immediately that tension was eased somewhat. So Buddha said, I agree with you. But just as you said, no, you said it, I didn't say it, right? You said it. When you give the gift to somebody, that person doesn't want it, you have to take the gift back yourself. The gift you have just showered upon me, those words, meh, I don't take it. Go back to you. What is the Buddha doing? Buddha is using his own words to show him a lesson. Buddha continued to say, just like a shadow follows a person, an echo follows a sound, you can't get away from your own karma. So because the Buddha's mind was quiet, was not occupied by his own feelings, in his mind he had a space to observe the person and contemplate, what can I do for you? In every situation, don't think about what you're doing to me. Think about what I can do for you. Even if the person came mean-spirited. That's another practice. What can I do for you? When you practice that, the ego self is not the main character anymore, right? It's not center stage anymore. It's just somewhere in the back. And your mind begin to have compassion. Now, that's magical. That's magical. That can turn things around. We look at this world now, there's so many conflicts between people. People are so divided in the society. Yeah? What? How could this guy get elected? How could that get elected? Two camps. Angry at each other. Maybe we should try the Buddha's approach. What can I do for you? Well, you don't know what to do for that person until you listen first, right? Listen to what they are saying. Listen to where they come from. your own ego aside, listen. And then you begin to see, oh, maybe you have a point. Maybe the other points I don't agree, but maybe there's a point here. And then there's a chance for harmony. Yeah? On a personal level, this is how we have peace and harmony. On an international level, same thing, don't you think? You are the war criminal. You are the terrorist. You are the bad guy. You are the evil country. Well, wait a minute. Let's listen to what they have to say. Understand their suffering. And maybe we'll begin to understand each other. That's compassion. See, everything is connected, right? Did you know that from practicing mindfulness of feeling can get you to emptiness and infinite compassion? The beauty of the Buddhist teaching is that you can start from any place. Eventually, they'll come together, converge to Anuttara Samyo Sambodhi, Anyodola Samyo Samputi, the ultimate enlightenment. Eventually. But you gotta have the courage to change your habits, to change your perspectives. May we all achieve perfect enlightenment. Do we have a few minutes for questions? Anybody have any questions? Yeah, when's lunch? Yeah?
Shifu, could you please explain the definition and meaning of emptiness more?
Can I explain the definition of emptiness? No. Emptiness is probably the most profound teaching in Buddhism, and it's core. It's the core to liberation. You can approach emptiness from several different angles, which we try to do today. From the angle of impermanence, from the angle of impact to you. Emptiness of something means that it can be changed with conditions, conditional arising, interdependence. So, for example, why is water empty? We see water everywhere, right? How can you say water is empty? Well, it is empty. Why is water empty? Well, it doesn't make sense to say water is empty per se, but it does make sense to say, what's the property of water? And every single property of water you can say is impermanent, changeable, due to conditions. For example, what is the shape of water? We say it's empty. The shape is water, of water is wherever container is in, right? It's conditioned. So it changes with condition, that's emptiness. So the shape of water is empty. So kind of it takes a while for your brain to come around and get used to this terminology, to this way of expressing this important, crucial core property of all phenomena. Water's form is empty. What about what can water do for you? Well, of course, we need water. It can quench thirst, right? So it's good for you. Is water good for you? Is it always good for you? No. No, sometimes it can drown you, right? So is water good or bad? The good or badness of water is empty. Emptiness is not a denial of, when it can be good, when it can be bad. The key is condition. When is it good for you? How much of it is good for you? In what state is good for you? In what state is bad for you? Right? So, water is good or bad. Water can put out water. Water can put out fire. That's a fixed, real property of water, right? No. If it's oil burning and you throw water on it, it doesn't do anything. So no, it doesn't always put out fire. In fact, water can help generate fire. When you go through some chemical, electrical process and turn it into its components, what's the water composed of? Hydrogen and oxygen. One burns, one help, fire burns. So there, water help fire burn. Water could. So water is empty. So you see the there's nothing you can say about water that is an intrinsic property of water. That's emptiness. And that's true with your affliction, with your suffering, with your worries. That's true. That's a little bit harder. Yeah? When you fail a task and people are blaming you for that, is that a bad experience? No, it's empty. Because some people rise out of that bad experience and become better and wiser. Some people get destroyed and then lose confidence in themselves. Right? It's a perspective. So everything is empty. And that is what can ultimately liberate us, because the core understanding about enlightenment is that the self is empty. Yeah, the self is empty. Now remember, emptiness is not nothingness, right? So when I say the self is empty, I is empty, that doesn't mean that I don't exist. It means that however you see yourself, that's an illusion. Do you see a permanent, fixed, independent self? Nothing about you is permanent, physically or mentally. Nothing about you is fixed. Look how much you changed and how much you could change. Nothing about you is independent. Everything is interdependent. We're gonna have lunch. Before you take the lunch, you look at the food. Would you say this food is me? Would you say this food is your body? No. But an hour later, you can't say that anymore. It's in your stomach, being digested, and some part of it become integrated into the so-called body of yours. And now you cannot say that bread or that rice, that veggie is not you anymore. Where's the boundary of your body? Do you have a boundary? You don't have a fixed boundary. Every time you breathe, something from the world become part of you. Every time you breathe out, some part of you goes out into the world. Where's the boundary? Where's the cutoff points? So the body is empty. I think we should quit. All right, let us make a dedication together. We are grateful for the wisdom and the compassion of the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, that we may gather together today and learn from the Buddha. May the merits we have generated from studying the Buddha together today be dedicated, be transferred to all the beings who are suffering right now, whether from physical illness or mental illness, or from violence and war or other troubles. May all be freed from suffering soon. May all encounter the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. May all take on the three refuges eventually and bring forth the Bodhi mind and become Buddhas. All right. Should I quit? Stop the recording, right?
Yes, please.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jikoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jikoji, please visit us on the web at jikoji.org.